You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
Why keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro?
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS.
And Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, Nation fellow Chris Hedges on his lawsuit to enjoin the implementation of the National Defense Act. Also on today's program, 80 occupiers arrested in San Francisco for occupying a building. The Supreme Court of the United States says you can be strip searched if you're arrested and going into a jail. Strip searched, everyone. James Murdoch resigning from the B-Sky board. No more Murdochs on that board. Murdoch probably a little worried about what's going to happen to him in the future and the taint it would provide, that his taint would taint B-Sky and prevent its licensing in Britain. More GOP attacks on women, and a heartwarming story of a Republican operative who was anti-gay until she realized she was gay and still supports an anti-gay party. So sweet. But first up, folks, I won't hold my breath, but I imagine there's going to be a lot of apologies from the corporate media, those right-wing blowhards. Really, the totality of the establishment in this country, I imagine pretty soon they're going to apologize to Jeanine Garofalo, who was one of the first people I ever heard who said that curveball was full of shite. You all remember curveball. He was supposedly one of the premier sources of intelligence. And I use that in air quotes. I'm not actually doing air quotes, but I'm trying to imply them with my voice. The intelligence that led us into a war of choice that ended up killing over, in very conservative estimates, over 100,000 innocent civilians in Iraq. And precipitated a 9-10 year involvement there, leaving behind one of the world's largest embassies, millions of refugees, both those who exiled the country and became refugees within the country. And of course, I haven't seen this on U.S. corporate media because they're too busy talking about the amazing appearance of Sarah Palin on the Today Show as a guest host. The earth-shattering news that morning broadcast media is essentially just an extension of their promotional department. And more proof that you can be an utter failure at your job. You can be a total idiot. And by total idiot, I'm not saying that without sympathy for Sarah Palin. Because John McCain also deserves, if not as much, then more responsibility for nearly putting this person in a position of being the vice president of the United States, perhaps even the president of the United States. So she's on the Today Show, sucking up all the oxygen. Meanwhile, the UK Independent reports that on Sunday, because it was in a BBC Two documentary, Rafid Ahmed Alwan al-Janabi, and we knew the curveballs. The curveball was a suspect or a suspicious source of intelligence. But now the guy's coming right out and saying it. He fabricated through whole cloth, apparently, claims about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction and smiles as he confirms how he made the whole thing up. My main purpose was to topple the tyrant in Iraq because the longer this dictator remains in power, the more Iraqi people will suffer from this regime's oppression. Maybe he hasn't checked the news lately, but he was... I don't know that he was responsible per se, because he had been completely written off by the CIA, completely written off by the Defense Department, completely written off by administration officials under the Clinton administration. But he was a perfect coat rack to hang the lies that the Bush administration wanted to foist on the American public with their handmaidens in the corporate media. He claimed to have overseen the building of a mobile biological laboratory when he sought political asylum in Germany in 1999. That's when he was first considered to be a joke. His lies were presented, quote, as facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence by Colin Powell, U.S. Secretary of State, when making the case for war at the UN Security Council in February 2003. Remember his like little container of talcum powder that if it broke, everyone sitting at the Security Council meeting in the UN would suddenly have all their athlete's foot disappear? Janabi says none of it was true. When it's put to him, quote, we went to war in Iraq on a lie, and that lie was your lie, he simply replies, yes. U.S. officials sexed up Mr. Janabi's drawings of mobile biological weapons labs to make them more presentable. This is from Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, General Powell's former chief of staff, who has been on a 4 or 5 year redemption tour. I brought the White House team in to do the graphics, he says, adding how intelligence was being worked to fit around the policy. As for his former boss, quote, I don't see any way on earth that Secretary Powell doesn't feel almost a rage about curveball and the way he's been was used in regards to that intelligence. Almost a rage? Colin Powell was so easily duped? No, he was being a team player. And he and Wilkerson, there's simply not enough redemption in the world for them, nor is there for their bosses. So it's just one more nail in the coffin. Of course, you know, this is ancient history now. This happened almost 12 years ago. So it's really, there's no point in discussing it. And yet we can celebrate the fact that the official figures in March according to the AP, showed that 112 people were killed by violence in Iraq. So congratulations, Iraq. That is the lowest monthly death toll for Iraqis since our tax dollars funded an illegal war, an invasion of your country, and killed, by the most conservative estimates put out by our own government, at least 100,000 innocent civilians. Only 357 of you were wounded last month, and the total death toll included 78 civilians, 22 policemen, and 12 soldiers. So that beats the other record of how many people died in Iraq since 2003, in November 2009, when only 122 died. So congratulations, Iraq.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd. Lay, hod, lay, hod,
hope you had fun.
Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd. Lay, hod, lay, hod, lo. Ho, ho.
Of course, we're still up to it in Afghanistan. But we didn't need any fake intelligence, apparently, there to occupy that country for 12 years in another seemingly never-ending expression of war. And in just a few moments, I'll be talking to Christopher Hedges, who is challenging. Chris Hedges challenging the NDAA. In court, had his day in court last Thursday. We will talk to him in just a moment later in the program. Like I say, more on this redemption tour. I love these heartwarming stories of, you know, I made some mistakes in the past, but now I'm so much better. We'll get to that GOP operative, the lesbian woman who was promoting anti-gay policies before she found out that she was gay, and now simply supports a party which promotes anti-gay policies. All that and more as the show continues today. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, folks, we are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report, having some technical difficulties reaching Chris Hedges. Hopefully, we will talk to him later in the program. The Supreme Court has come out with another wonderful 5-4 ruling that officials may strip search people arrested for any offense, anything, however minor, before admitting them to jails, even if the officials have absolutely zero reason to suspect that someone might be hiding a bomb in their anal cavity or strapped to their tummy or holding whatever type of contraband. Maybe someone's trying to sneak cigarettes in. Maybe someone's been scofflaw when it comes to their parking tickets. And of course they get arrested, and we all know those people will be hiding cigarettes in their anal cavity just as a way of making sure that they have something to negotiate with when they get into jail. The procedures that the Supreme Court endorsed, essentially have said are legal, are actually forbidden by statute in at least 10 states and are at odds with the policies of federal authorities who arrest you. Of course, that's all going to change now. You realize it's just a matter of time before every police department in the country, now that the Supreme Court has given their blessing to the automatic strip searching of people who are arrested for any offense, you realize that's just going to become accepted policy across the country. It may take anywhere from 6 to 18 months. Maybe in those lone holdout states, it'll take 2 years. Who knows? But this is what it's going to be. And, of course, you can only imagine that this is going to be a fairly commonplace if you're, let's say, protesting. Apparently, this was done to a nun who was at an anti-war protest. This came out of a case, Florence v. County of Burlington, which arose from the arrest of a guy named Albert Florence, who is from New Jersey. He was subjected to two strip searches, invasive ones, in 2005. He was driving in his BMW with his family, I guess his pregnant wife, and his child. This trooper pulled over his wife for speeding. They did a record search, and they found an outstanding warrant for Mr. Florence's arrest based on an unpaid fine. He was in the passenger seat. He was held for a week in jails in Burlington and Essex counties where he was strip searched in each. And then just to top it all off, it turned out he had actually paid the fine, that the warrant was a mistake. Not only that, he had proof that he had paid the fine. He kept it in his glove compartment because as a black man, he was aware that he would often get pulled over by the police because he was driving a BMW. Justice Breyer said the decision would legitimize searches conducted to harass and humiliate people for their political views, citing that nun who was strip searched after being arrested in an anti-war protest. It's impossible to imagine that the police would ever do anything to humiliate someone that they have arrested in, let's say, a protest rally, let's say. That's so hard to imagine, that the police department would treat protesters with anything other than the utmost respect. I can't imagine that will happen. I mean, how many days is it going to be until we hear the story of the first Occupy protester who was arrested and has been strip searched for no other reason other than we're going to really humiliate the hell out of this person. We're going to create as many disincentives for people to protest as possible because we just don't like doing it unless we get overtime. Just one more aspect, which, again, you want to tell me that there's no difference between the four justices appointed by Democrats on the Supreme Court and the five appointed by Republicans? This one small ruling is not determinant. But if you're not seeing a pattern here, you're deluding yourself. Believe me, I am unhappy with President Obama. But the Supreme Court, really, I think we've seen this past week just how much pivots on the Supreme Court and just how far and how extreme this block of five is. And by making them a block of six or a block of seven or a block of eight, you're cementing the way that our society is pivoting for another 20 years. Maybe more, because we've also seen their ability to change an election results, or at least redirect them. Meanwhile, Occupy San Francisco protesters, nearly 80 of them, were arrested Monday afternoon after they took over a building owned by the Archdiocese of San Francisco and spent Sunday night there, contending it was vacant. The Archdiocese said it wasn't vacant. We used it 18 months ago. The Archdiocese claims that it has been used by the Sacred Heart Cathedral Preparatory High School and they were planning to lease it to raise money for scholarships for low-income students. There were at least 75 Occupy protesters arrested, as I said, and the police essentially decided to raid the building after other occupiers began arriving with food and other provisions. And, of course, the archdiocese, or I should say the police sergeant, claims that there were stockpiles of bricks on the roof, buckets of paint and chairs and other items. We were concerned they were going to be used to throw down on police officers. I can't imagine that there would be bricks on the top of a otherwise vacated building. And, of course, you should know that yesterday was the six-month anniversary of the 700 arrests on the Brooklyn Bridge, as Occupy is gearing up for widespread protests on May 1st. In other news, James Murdoch stepping down as the B Sky B chairman. Remember, he had just been essentially been left with this as being his only portfolio, as he quickly got out of Britain. By stepping down, it will mean that Noam Murdoch occupies a top position at the satellite broadcaster for the first time in years. This is pretty huge, because Murdoch essentially had satellite broadcasting across the world, and this was going to be the crown jewel in his, well, I guess his crown. His determination to step down at this point surprised friends, given that only a few weeks earlier, James Murdoch resolved to stay on at Sky, even as he relocated to New York and gave up his job as executive chairman of News International, the publisher of the now-closed News of the World, The Sun, and the British Times. It sounds to me like James Murdoch has a notion as to what his future is going to be, and it doesn't look so bright. He's also under investigation by Ofcom, which is the communications regulator in Britain. It's looking at whether the satellite broadcaster meets the fit and proper test in light of his stewardship of News International. Failing it would mean that Sky could no longer broadcast. Although if Murdoch leaves the board of Sky completely, that aspect of the test would then become moot. Apparently, the Murdochs own about 39% of B Sky B. They have long dominated its board. And so all that James has left is with a reduced area of responsibilities in his new role in New York City, being responsible only for non-U.S. television interests. He's in charge of pay TV businesses in Italy, Sky Italia, and Star in Asia. In other words, they're building a firewall between James and the rest of the corporate interests, because it appears that James may not be, well, let's put it this way. It appears that James may be subjected to strip searches in his future. There's a big story out. I haven't dug into it completely. It just came out in the Times about the Obama administration's interference with the FDA, essentially based upon what it seems like a fear of Glenn Beck, and probably a predisposition on the part of the Obama administration against things like regulation. You know, the irony is, of course, is that Cass Sunstein is supposed to be the biggest communist in the pantheon of Glenn Beckdom. And in fact, he's overseen a bit of a rollback on regulations. There was a regulation that the FDA was proposing as part of the new healthcare law to require that movie theaters post calorie counts for popcorn. Seems to make sense. Why not? Would you be surprised to find out that that bucket of popcorn has got like 12,000 calories or something? Apparently, there's nothing more sort of egregious you can put into your bloodstream than that coconut oil and butter or whatever it is. In the FDA view, the law called for moviegoers to know that many a buttery bucket of popcorn had more calories than two Big Macs. But President Obama's chief health advisor thought the requirement was unnecessary and would probably be lampooned on Fox News as an especially silly example of the government intrusions that conservatives often mocked as a nanny state. I mean, really, is it really that problematic to defend the idea that we're just going to provide informed consent for consumers? Isn't that what every libertarian who's called into this program has said, that we don't need regulations, we just need informed consent? That's all that this was required. But Dr. Margaret Hamburg, no pun intended, the FDA commissioner appointed by Mr. Obama, soon heard about the White House's displeasure. And called Ms. DePaul at home one evening. People with a knowledge of the call confirmed the women had a decidedly chilly conversation. Within days, the FDA, an agency charged with protecting public health, backed down and dropped the notion of calorie counts for food served in movie theaters and on airplanes. They had similar, arguments at the FDA as to whether or not should the makers of lotion that do not prevent skin cancer be prohibited from calling them sunscreens. Boy, that would be a laugh riot on Fox News to hear those Fox and Friends. How damaging wouldn't it be to all of the country to hear those idiots on Fox and Friends bemoan the fact that you're not allowed to call fake sunscreens sunscreens? Or should the label, they just be labeled as ineffective, as the White House insisted? I mean, the unbelievable just cowardice of this administration in certain areas is stunning. I'll dig into that story more tomorrow. Let's take a quick break and see if we can get Chris Hedges one more time. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. So last week in Georgia, women essentially put it in the same category as as livestock. You'll remember that Representative Terry England, in debating this measure, the so-called fetal pain bill, compared pregnant women carrying stillborn fetuses to the cows and the pigs on his farm. Hell, we deliver stillborn fetuses from cows and pigs on our farm all the time. Why can't women do it? Let me quote him. If farmers have to, quote, deliver calves, dead or alive, then women carrying a dead fetus should have to carry it to term. And the Georgia House passed this Senate-approved bill Thursday night of last week that criminalizes abortion after 20 weeks. HB 954 excludes a woman's, quote, emotional or mental condition, which means women suffering from mental illness would also be forced to carry a pregnancy to term. The only exemption provided by this bill is an exemption for medically futile pregnancies or those in which the woman's life or health is threatened. The medically futile, though, is rather vague. And because the fetus must be diagnosed with an irreversible chromosomal or congenital anomaly that is incompatible with sustaining life after birth. Ms. Magazine, as reported there, anti-choice lawmakers, it's an item of faith that fetuses feel pain at 20 weeks, but scientists disagree. Those crazy, wacky scientists. Scientists, all existing medical evidence have found that fetuses have not developed the neurological structures to feel pain until at least 25 weeks and not likely until 28 weeks in the third trimester. This is also contrary to Roe v. Wade, which allows for abortion to be legal up to 24 weeks. So Georgia's gone forward with that. And yesterday I was on Dylan Radigan's program. Did you see that? With Neil deGrasse.
I saw that.
Who is, I've seen him before. He is a fairly well-known science guy. He is the head of the planetarium at the Museum of Natural History. And we sat on a panel, and I got to say, it's frustrating for me at times. Because he is talking about how important science is. And how the NASA budget is, you could pay the past 50 years of NASA budget with 1 year's defense budget expenditures. Just operationally speaking, I think, the defense budget. And he's talking about the importance of science in a couple of different ways in terms of exploration. He's talking about the value of science for the sake of knowledge. Which, of course, in this day and age, in this country, is almost a laughable concept. The idea that anybody would just pursue knowledge for the sake of knowledge, that's ridiculous. This whole country has become essentially full of people who are just raising their hand and asking the teacher, is this going to be on the test? Because if it's not going to be on the test, why do we need to know this? But he also wanted to, and so during the course of the conversation, I brought up to him a recent study, which I'll be talking about with Chris Moody in a pre-recorded interview that's going to play over the course of the vacation next week. There's a study that shows that since 1974, there has been a loss in faith in science, a loss of trust in science, belief in science, by a very specific cohort of people in this country. And that are conservatives. And not conservatives who are uneducated, but conservatives who are educated. If you look at the graph, you see that anybody but conservatives, their faith in science has basically continued to rise slowly. But educated conservative ones, their belief in science has dropped like a stone. And so I mentioned this to him. I said, what accounts for this? How are you going to deal with this? And basically he said, and Radigan echoed, that it is a failure on the part of our government to fill the vacuum that has been created by a lack of defense of science. You know, and he cited, you know, in the 60s, and really, I think probably before then, I mean, really through much of the 20th century up until the early 70s, we heard so much about tomorrow. You had these world fairs that were all about the future. Like the Epcot Center was built, or not the Epcot Center, but there was all these like future worlds, and it was always about the future, always about tomorrow.
Tomorrowland. That was,
and they said that, you know, it's because government hasn't done a good job in sort of drumming up interest in this. But the thing that Degrassi and Rattigan failed to understand is that there has been a concerted effort on the right to demonize science for one reason and one reason only, in my estimation. It dovetails nicely with aligning yourself with religious fundamentalists and getting their votes. And it's also nice because if you can strip away objective reality, then the idea that cigarettes cause cancer or that the mercury poisoning that we're being subjected to because of coal-fired power plants or the greenhouse gases, which are threatening, I think it's fair to say, the existence of our civilization as we know it. You can disregard these things and the implications on your bottom line if you're a corporate interest. But there's an overarching umbrella as to why conservatives fundamentally have been working against science. And that is because, as Neil deGrasse is actually saying when he was expanding upon, when he was questioned at one point by one of the other panelists, Imogen Lloyd Webber, about Richard Branson. Richard Branson, the big millionaire, billionaire entrepreneur from Virgin. I don't know how much money he has, more than me. Has his own private space thing. And DeGrasse said, well, he's just going from one place to another. He's not exploring in any way. For this, we need government. It takes a government. It takes all of us to marshal resources. It takes government to do this. And that's the irony is he doesn't understand. That's exactly why conservatives attack science. Because it is through science, and it is in the use of science and the pursuit of science and of knowledge, that we can see that collectively we can solve certain problems. And that, at the heart of it, is what conservatives fear, is that the American public, that us as a society will have that realization that that's what it takes and that government can solve problems. We have actually begun to repair the ozone layer because of government regulation, because of government initiatives to cut down on fluorocarbons. This is why conservatives don't want you to know that it's government that provides you with Social Security. It's that government provides you with Medicare. They don't want you to realize that 40 million people in this country are already on a single-payer healthcare system. And it's, in fact, the sickest and most elderly of our population. In other words, the hardest people to insure. And not just the hardest people to insure in terms of cost containment, but also it would become easier with the more people that were covered. This is at the heart of why conservatives attack science. It's because they don't want our citizens to realize that it takes government and that actual government can actually solve problems. And the thing that's so frustrating to me about it is that, you know, Rattigan's show, to his credit, is really focused on problem solving and what our government can do. But you cannot have that happen if you do not address the fundamental problem that is prohibiting government from finding solutions. And that is that there is an entire political apparatus that is predicated and incentivized to make sure that the government can provide no solutions. Because if the government does provide solutions, regardless of what those solutions are, it undercuts their very reason for being. and all the things that are going to provide them with success. All right, we're going to take a break and head into the better half of the program. There, I'll be telling you this heartwarming story of this Republican operative who built her chops on making sure that gay people were second-class citizens in this country and then found out she was gay. And now trying to unwind the damage she did, still supporting the party that tries to use as one of its electoral devices demonizing gay people. That and your phone calls and your IMs, 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. We will endeavor to get you Chris Hedges tomorrow or maybe over the course of the next week. Folks, need your support. You can just stay satisfied with a corporate media that brings you guest hosts like Sarah Palin, or you can support media that informs you and sometimes entertains you, often maybe on occasion depresses you. But we're all in this together. Or at least you can be by supporting the Majority Report at majority.fm. Become a member today. Other ways of supporting the show, you know them. Buy your crap through that Amazon link. If you buy crap from Amazon, you can also buy Just Coffee at justcoffee.coop. 10% coupon code. Majority, get 10% off fair trade coffee, tea, chocolate, organic, merch, iTunes reviews. You know the whole deal. All right, see you in the better half. You can IM me at Majority FM.